Will you pray with me, please? God, we pray for your Spirit. We are hungry for you, God. We thirst for you. We pray that you send your Spirit to us as we cry out to you so that we can serve you and serve your people. Amen. As I said in the kids' message this morning, tomorrow is, as we all know, Memorial Day. Now, like any other, public holiday, sometimes it's easy to get distracted by the holiday. Perhaps a lot of us don't have to go to work tomorrow, and we're looking at the weather and saying, oh, how inconvenient that there's all this rain because it's Memorial Day. And on Memorial Day, we have cookouts and we, go kayaking or get on a boat of other type and go be outside. So I just want to start off today by just connecting us for a moment to Memorial Day. What is it that Memorial Day honors? And recognizing that it is absolutely wonderful to go out and have fun. That is a way of honoring. Going out and celebrating, spending time with the people you care about, or if you have to go to work tomorrow, enjoying that little bump in pay that you get for working on a holiday. These are okay things. And at the same time, we can hold multiple realities. We remember that this is honoring individuals who lost their lives. And no matter what we feel politically, individually about war and about America's involvement in wars, the reality is that on this day we honor brothers and sisters, we honor daughters and sons and parents, and the families that grieve. So we stand in solidarity with every person for whom Memorial Day is more than just a day off. In the scriptures we heard today, in the letter to the Romans, we hear this phrase of when we cry out, Abba. Now, I've told you many times that I didn't grow up going to church, but I did grow up pretty connected to the gay community from the time I was pretty young. So when I first started, reading the Bible and stuff, I was way more familiar with Abba, because I knew a lot about drag queens. And if you know about drag queens, you know about Abba. It's like part of the queer trinity. I don't know, the queens and the Abba and the Holy Spirit. So this is not the same as Abba. This we cry Abba. Abba is a term of endearment and affection. It means father, but really it more means like daddy, like a very affectionate, sweet word for father. And Christ calls out to Abba and gives us this image of God, not the angry, finger-shaking God, but the loving, cherishing, tender God. And when we cry out to Abba, we know that we are children of God. So how do we, as children of God, connect to the divine? In the other story that we heard this morning, a passage that is quite familiar to many, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And he kind of comes to him like, he might be a little on the embarrassed side. Like, I've got this question. I don't quite understand. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a leader in the Sanhedrin. He was of a different tradition than Jesus. And he's confused. He comes to Jesus unsure of this thing that Jesus has been saying. Jesus has said that you have to be born again. You have to be reborn. And Nicodemus looks at him and says, "How can I be reborn when I have already been born?" Nicodemus is confused, like many of us get confused, because he can't let go of the literalism. He can't let go of the actual physical embodiment. He's thinking about birth. It really only happens once. I can't go back and be born again. And, you know, Jesus is trying to explain it to him, and he really just can't get there. Have you ever been stuck on something? Like, someone's explaining it, and you're like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but, like, I still have no idea what you're talking about. Like, this is not possible. So that's that place that he's in. And I don't know about you, but when I'm in that place, and I'm like, I'm just not going to understand it, that's when I dig my heels in, and I will choose to not understand it just so I can be right that I don't understand. Like, let me tell you, that's 4 years of high school math for me. I decided before the school year started that I hate math, I'm never going to understand it, and sat through every class saying, I don't understand this. Because sometimes we choose to not get it. And sometimes we're just bad at math. But sometimes we choose to not get it, and it can be so hard for someone like Nicodemus to let go of the literalism, to let go of the thinking about the body, thinking about the flesh, and instead start thinking about the spirit. So another factor of being reborn is that it's not great, right, to think about. Like, let's say we can step away from the literalism and then we think about being reborn. Well, then that means starting over. And who wants to start over when you're already halfway there? Being reborn means that you have to take a risk to learn new things. Who would want to learn to speak and to walk all over again? Who would want to learn all of these lessons again and learn them differently? It's hard. And it's the same thing with this, like, grasping at, I don't understand, and I'm going to hold on to this concept of not understanding. It is not possible to fully understand Scripture. It's not possible to fully understand our spirits if we can only hold on to the literal interpretation, if we can only hold on to literal ideas. This is one of the reasons why Jesus speaks so much in parables and in metaphors, because it's not about literally what is happening. It's about the spiritual truth behind it. So in Romans, let's go back to the first reading. We hear a message that talks a lot about physicality, a lot about bodies and what we do with our bodies and who we are in a physical presence. And like many of the writings of Paul, it can be pretty down on the body. Paul, there's a whole Bible study in this that I won't get into this morning, but there is a lot there about separating our spirit from our body. And our task is to figure out, where is the balance? In his letter to the Romans, we hear that the snarls of flesh will distract us. We will get caught up in worldly things and forget about what truly matters. And yet we live in the world, right? So how do we find the balance? How do we find the balance in the fact that we still have to go to our jobs, we still have to do all the things, the life things? We're not just ethereal spiritual beings floating away. We are here and now in the present. So I want to share with you a story about where I got some inspiration this week. On Wednesday morning, I was here and helping unload the stuff for the food pantry. We have volunteers who go every Wednesday morning to Feeding Tampa Bay and pick up a lot of food that then we bring in, and I've said it before, if you have never been here during the day on a Wednesday, I strongly encourage you to come and see the inspirational experience that is happening. And also, while you're here, you could volunteer. But if you only have time to stop by, please do, because it is absolutely the heart of what we do here happens, really does happen on Wednesdays. So you might remember in the kids' message this morning, I shared that it is Ramadan. And Ramadan means that people of the Muslim faith do not eat or even take a sip of water or put anything in their mouths at all from the time the sun comes up until the sun sets. We have, if you could put up our picture. This is Henrietta. She is one of our loyal food pantry volunteers. Many of you have met Julie. She's here too. If you give a little wave. So Henrietta and Julie volunteer every week in the food pantry, and they are currently fasting. So when Henrietta was unloading boxes of food, and it was hot at, 9 o'clock in the morning, already over 80 degrees, I kept telling her, please go sit down. I don't want you to get overheated because you can't even have a sip of water. And she ignored me, which, that's okay. And she didn't really ignore me. She thanked me and said that she would rather continue unloading the boxes. So after we were done unloading, I sat down with her and I asked her, what does it mean to you during Ramadan when you cannot have food to be carrying boxes of food, to be handing out food and drinks while you're sitting here hungry and thirsty? She explained to me that during Ramadan is the best time for her to be working in the food pantry. She said that when she feels hunger, she is connected so deeply to our friends who frequent the food pantry, who come in needing food. And that is a gift from God, her feeling of hunger. And I asked her, what do you do? How do you make it through the day without even a sip of water? And she said that it is a challenge, of course, and it is such a blessing to go throughout the whole day with no water because it connects her to the millions of people in this world who do not have safe water to drink. And I found her story so inspirational that I asked her for permission to talk about her in church today. Well, really, truth be told, I wanted to make her Volunteer of the Month. Kathy James almost got bumped. But she wouldn't. She said no, that does not serve the purpose of her spiritual experience of Ramadan to be honored in that way. But with some convincing, she did let me tell her story of connecting with those in need. What a beautiful way to serve God with embodiment. And here we have in the scriptures stories of how to balance this spiritual world and the physical world. And we have Nicodemus, who's of a different tradition from Jesus, coming to Jesus to learn a little bit about faith. And then we have this beautiful example that just appeared for me this week of learning about my own faith from someone of another faith. Because we are all just serving God. So what can we learn from our Muslim siblings in this month of Ramadan? There's something else. I asked Henrietta what she does for Eid. Eid is the celebration at the very end of Ramadan. It celebrates the end of the fast. And people exchange gifts, and it's a family holiday. And she said that in her community, there are a number of refugees. They don't have to be Muslim. They don't have to belong to their community to be a part of that community. They've taken in a number of refugees from countries where it is too dangerous, from the Congo, from Syria, from places where war is happening. And these refugees, especially the kids, they need shoes. So to celebrate Eid, to celebrate the end of Ramadan, the end of this time of fasting, she is going around and finding throughout Ramadan shoes from, you know, Target, Walmart, nothing fancy, but just shoes, so that these kids who came here not knowing the language, not knowing anyone, who are getting resettled as refugees in this country, can have a gift. So I want to ask if anyone here would raise your hand and buy one pair of shoes. All right. We have enough shoes to meet Henrietta's goal just from the hands that were raised. If you would please see me after church, we will write everyone's names down. That is amazing. I thought I was going to be pushing this on Facebook for the whole month of Ramadan. Maybe I will keep pushing it and some people can get extra shoes, but this is amazing. Something as simple as shoes, as a new pair of shoes to celebrate the end of Ramadan, to celebrate Eid, and to give kids who just escaped horrible situations where they might die a gift that says, we care about you. We don't need to know you. You don't have to be a member of this church, but you deserve this pair of shoes. It is hard to access the physical, when the spiritual, when our physical needs are not being met. When we are stuck in the physical, we cannot reach the spiritual. That includes kids who don't have shoes to wear, people who do not have food to eat, those of us in this very room who are worried about how to make ends meet, living paycheck to paycheck, or not having a paycheck, or sleeping outside. It is hard to be connected to the Spirit of God when our bellies are empty. It is hard to be connected to the Spirit of God when we are scared for our safety. It is hard to be connected to the Spirit of God when we don't know where our next meal is coming from, when we will find shelter. So in the scripture, when it tells us about this balance between the physical and the spiritual, it's not saying just reject everything because the physical doesn't matter. It's telling us that we need to meet our spiritual needs by serving the physical needs that we have and those of others. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for loving these kids who need shoes. Thank you, Julie and Henrietta, although Henrietta's not here today, for your love during the season of Ramadan, for our family of faith. We are lucky to have you as part of our family. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we have so much to learn. We have so much that we can teach each other. Open our hearts, God. Help us to be generous. Help us to be loving. Thank you so much, God, for this community, for the love that we have. It's something as simple as shoes, something as simple as a meal, means so much. And helping others know your love and your blessing in this world. Amen.